Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thanks so much for your support. You can donate to the show at support.greatdetectives.net. I also want to let you know we have two articles up at greatdetectives.net this weekend. On Saturday, I'll be posting my review of Rex Stout's Over My Dead Body. And then on Sunday, we take a look at the radio joke program, Can You Top This? So be sure and check out those articles at greatdetectives.net this weekend. Also, you can subscribe to have those automatically sent to your Kindle by getting the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio in the Kindle store. Well, we had about 4 weeks of lost episodes before we get to today's program. This one was aired on February the 5th, 1952. And the title is The Potting Peter Case.
What a lineup.
Hello, Asher.
Christmas time?
How'd you know?
Couldn't miss it.
Oh, it's not that bad. I kind of like it.
Wife give it to you?
Kid.
Yeah, that's kind of nice.
Got somebody in the line?
I thought I'd see how cargo is making out.
How many do you have?
15. Glad to see cargo get the chance. Been with you a long time.
Yeah, 12 years now.
You really think my tie's loud?
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Carger, Sergeant Pete Carger. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. If you are sure or not too sure of the suspect, have him held. The officers who took your name will assist you. They are seated among you. Please be prompt with your questions or identifications. When the prisoners leave here, they are sent to the washroom and dressed back in their jail clothes. Makes it quite difficult to bring them back after they leave here. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice, so do not pay too much attention to their answers as they often lie. All right, bring on the line. All right, keep it moving. Right over here to the end of the stage. Now turn and face front. Hands at your side. Now when I call your number, step out and talk up. It's a big room out there and I want everybody to hear you. All right, number one, Louis Briskin. Drunk and disorderly. Where do you live, Louis?
1608 Brooklyn.
You'll have to speak up, Louis.
I got a talk to
you. You can talk up louder than that. Repeat your address.
1608 47.
Where do you work?
I got an upholstery shop. My own business.
You caused a little trouble in your upholstery shop, Louis.
Yeah.
You beat up a customer.
He got nasty.
You beat up everybody to get nasty?
Just as far as the shop was closed.
You always close at 5?
I close when I feel like it. I own the shop. I close when I want to close. I close. Had a couple of drinks and this guy comes in to get his lousy love seat.
Why did he get nasty?
He said I put the wrong fabric on it or something. I say he's crazy. He says he ordered something else. I say he didn't. You know how those things get started.
What did you hit him with?
The love seat.
All right, Lori, step back.
You know, the fabric he said he didn't order was better than the stuff he said he did.
Step back, Lori.
Okay.
Number two, John Spatz. Robbery. Where do you live, John?
67 West, 157 Street.
What do you do?
I shine shoes and it stands.
How old are you?
I'm 32.
Anybody arrested with you?
Yeah. Fellow back there, at him.
Number seven, William Carpenter.
Well, I don't know. He just told me Bill. I heard him in yesterday.
Any weapons?
Yeah.
Well, what were they?
Two guns.
Yeah. Pistols, rifles, shotgun, or what?
Okay. Mine was a 38.
Oh, come on now, John. Give us the whole description.
Well, mine was a 38. A blue steel 38.
Mendel Park, eh?
Yeah, 670 East Reeves. Man called Mim Fellows. Said his sister was the victim.
Well, how bad is she?
Said she was dead.
The brother and Crockett. All right, keep looking.
I will.
Hello, Vince. She died instantly. Bullet entered behind the left ear.
Where's her brother?
The other room.
Now, take a look around, Coyne.
Right.
Brother's really taking a tough one. Mr. Bellows, this is Lieutenant Guthrie.
Oh.
I'd like to ask you a few questions, if you think you can answer them right now.
Well, I guess I can. I'm just kind of numb, kind of stunned. One minute you talk to somebody you know, and that's the end of it. That's all. I don't know. I'm so mixed up.
Well, you can help by just telling us everything you know, everything you can remember.
I don't know. I was just sitting there reading the paper. Marge is out in the kitchen. She was, you know, one of those silly things, Marge and her girlfriend or something. I think they were shopping and something happened, you know, with the clerk. Well, it reminded me of a story, I guess. I said something that was funny. We laughed, kind of silly because we were tired. You know how you do.
Yeah.
She's got a real...
What were you going to say?
I was going to say she got a real wonderful laugh, but I'm sorry.
Take your time.
You got a cigarette, Lieutenant?
Well, sure.
Thanks.
There's one.
Thanks. Thanks. What was I talking about?
Your sister was in the kitchen.
Oh, yes.
You were laughing about something.
Yes, well, she came into the room and sat down. I guess we laughed some more and started to talk. There was a shot. Not a loud one. I remember I didn't pay any attention to Marge. The window broke and it made me jump. I didn't look at her. I think I jumped up. Yeah. And I said something. I don't remember just what I said, but I... turned to Marge. She was falling over. It happened so quick. You know, between the time you jump up and turn, she was still falling. I didn't get it. It wouldn't go in my head. She fell out of the chair on the floor, and I still just kind of stood there. I kind of knew what had happened, and I didn't. And I saw the blood. Oh, gosh, I don't remember too much. After that, I tried to do something. I called you. I don't know.
Just a second, Clint. Do you know anybody who would want to kill your sister?
No.
Do you think about it?
All right.
Stay with him, Crockett.
Sure. I don't know if I...
Quarters here. Hello, Sam.
Evening, Ben.
Found a slug. Oh. 22.
It is too flattened out to be much help. That's where it went in.
Mm-hmm.
Right in line with a woman. Went through the window, through her, and stuck.
She must have died pretty quick. Slug ended right behind the left ear and passed through. Small slug. Well, I can't tell you much more until I get her downtown.
Well, go in and take a look at her brother, will you? He's pretty shaken
out. On the casing there. 22.
Oh, where?
About 15 feet from the house by a hedge.
All right. Let's go take a look.
That's the spot, all right. You can see where the girl was heading is right in line. Right over here. Slug was right here. It's a clear shot.
Well, now all we need is the gun and the motor.
Just gave me the rundown on this Bellows killing.
Yeah, this is a tough one, Pete. You've checked and checked.
Yeah, that's what Asher was saying.
Can't find a motive.
How about the brother?
It's possible, I guess. But I don't think so.
No leads, huh?
Just a slug in the casing. If we can find the gun, we can match the casing.
Well, that should be easy. Only about 50,000 22s in the city.
I said it was tough.
You checked the neighborhood?
Yeah, a couple of 22s, but they aren't it. Had the brother staked out for a week now. I'll swear he's not in.
Insurance?
Yeah, he's got a policy, but she hasn't. All the friends and the neighbors say they were inseparable. Neither one was married. No family. Lived alone for about 15 years.
What's he do?
Works in a garage mechanic. Want some coffee?
Yeah, I'd love some. Let's get out of this office. I'm getting a headache.
Coffee. You hungry again?
Well, I thought I might have a hamburger.
You're always hungry.
Well, stop working me so much. Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, Pete.
How about putting some peanut butter on a hamburger, huh?
Peanut butter?
Peanut butter?
Well, haven't you ever had a hamburger with nuts on it?
A nut burger?
Sure, peanut butter does the same thing.
Just coffee for me, Jerry.
You want onions on it, too?
Sure, the works.
Oh, no.
No, these are great. I'll give you a bite, huh?
Don't do me any favors.
Give me some coffee, too.
One peanut butter burger and two coffees.
There's an order.
Give me two nickels, huh?
I don't know if I got them. Here.
Jerry.
I only got one.
Oh, your nickel.
Yeah, he's here. Dan, for you.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, Jerry, is this jukebox out of order?
The sign says, doesn't it?
You sure you just didn't hang it there when you spotted Cogger coming?
No, it's really out of order.
Hello, this is Gussie.
Another shooting, Ben.
Where?
Corner Jefferson and Adams. 4673 Adams. Another woman.
I'll be right over.
Stop there on the bench. I was just sitting there on that end.
Nobody else?
Well, not at first. No, not at first. The woman, when she came up later.
Anybody else around?
Well, I didn't see anybody. No, I was just sitting on the bench, and this woman, that's all.
Now, what time was it?
Well, I don't know, Norm. It was about 15 minutes ago, I guess. And from the time she was shot until the time the officers arrived, I guess it was just about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm, go on.
Well, I must admit, I'm very nervous. Nothing like this has ever happened to me. I was just sitting there, not paying attention to her, of course, and there you are. Somebody shoots you. There you are. that sit next to a dead woman. That's just a terrible thing to go through.
And you didn't see anyone else?
No, I didn't. I heard the shot. I saw her topple off the bench. Just toppled right over in her face. I didn't tie the shot and her falling together right away. And then when I saw the blood... Oh, my goodness, when I saw that blood, I knew. I crawled right under the bench.
Now, here's the coroner.
But the coroner? Oh, my goodness, the coroner.
Hello, Gus.
I'll see you in a minute, Sam.
Oh, I'll find something to do.
Oh, my goodness, what kind of a remark was that? Oh, my goodness.
You were waiting for a bus.
Huh?
Waiting for a bus?
Well, conscious. I was sitting right on that end of the bench.
Where were you going?
Well, I was going home.
Where do you live, Mr.
Well, I was 5477 Adams.
Where were you tonight?
I was visiting a friend.
Who?
George. George Wells. He doesn't live far from here. You could ask him. He's just around that corner. And he's up about two blocks. It's 2347 Jefferson. And on the second floor.
Check that, Asher. Right.
Well, you don't think that I...
No, sir. Just checking everything.
Well, I should hope so. Well, you go and talk to George. And he'll tell you all about me. Such a terrible thing. I've never been mixed up in anything like this.
We'll have to ask you to come down to the station and sign a statement.
Come down to the station? Oh, goodness, well, I've got to get home. I have a mother at home, and she'll worry. Yes. Really?
Hey, Oswald. Take a look at this.
Oh, that's a gun.
22 rifle.
Now, where'd you find it?
Right around the corner on Jefferson in the gutter. Look at this. Whole breach has been blown apart.
Oh, my goodness.
Mr. Toomey.
Yes?
You said you heard the shot.
Oh, yes. Yes, I heard it.
How loud was it?
Loud? Bang! Very loud.
That's an old rifle. It probably blew up right in his face.
It must have. I found some blood leading away from the corner.
Now, let's take a look. Keep him back here, will you, please?
Let him through. All of you now.
There's some of the blood.
He could have shot it from here.
This is where he did it. Look at the wall.
Yeah, splattered.
Now keep your light on the sidewalk. How far did you follow this blood?
Just the way I found the rifle.
And where?
A couple of yards up.
Right here, I marked it.
Mm. Yeah, the blood crosses the street.
Yeah, come on.
There's some more. Hurt pretty bad.
Now go up that way, Pete.
Don't see any more.
Pete?
I can't find any more up this way.
All right, go back. Yeah. One's here.
Think he got into a car?
And that's what it looks like. Blood stops about 4 feet from the gutter.
Well, he's hurt. We know that.
We'll have Sam get a sample of this blood. Still pretty fresh. Get the type.
He'll probably look for first aid.
Put out on all points. Tell the newspapers and get some radio bulletins out so the private doctors will be on the lookout.
They'd have to report a gunshot wound.
No, it won't necessarily look like a gunshot wound. Could tell him he was playing with a shotgun shell or anything.
Police are seeking a suspect who is believed to be responsible for the slaying of two women. A week ago, Miss Ethel Bellows was shot while sitting in the living room of her home, and early this evening, another woman, Mrs. Sophie Gillette, was killed in the same manner while she sat at a bus stop on Adams Drive. The police say the suspect used an old .22 rifle that exploded when he fired the shot that killed Mrs. Gillette.
Turn it down,
will
you, Cargill?
Blood was found on the spot
sure.
Where the killer stood.
They can't possibly match those cases we found with what's left of that rifle.
I didn't think they could.
The breech is too damaged. Firing fin and ejector were blown to pieces.
Godfrey?
My name is the occupation.
Hold it a minute, please. Hey, turn that thing off. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
My name is Dr. Bishop.
Yes, doctor.
I just heard a broadcast about a man you're looking for.
But we don't know if it is a man.
I think it is.
You treat somebody?
Yes. He said he left the gas on in his oven. Exploded in his face. I treated him for some very serious cuts and abrasions.
You know him?
Yes, I've had him as a patient before.
What makes you think his story isn't straight?
After he left and I heard the broadcast, I examined the swabs I cleaned his wounds with. There was gunpowder on them.
Dr. Bishop?
Yes.
I'm Lieutenant Guthrie.
Come in.
This is Sergeant Carger.
Yeah,
How do you do?
Hello, Doctor.
Let's go into the other room, gentlemen. Say, you've treated this man before?
Yes, his name's Devers, Peter Devers. I checked his file while I was waiting for you. Sit down.
Thank you.
There was enough blood, so I got a smear for you.
Well, that'll be a big help.
You have the address on this, Peter Devers?
Yes, I wrote it down. Here, 658 North Bender.
How many times have you treated him in the past?
Four or five, according to the record.
Well, you know what we want him for, Doctor. You think he's capable of shooting two women?
Well, I don't know him very well. I'll show you his case history, but it won't tell much. He's a nervous person, quiet, but impatient. I've taken care of a few bad colds for him, and he has something the matter with his back. I can't find much. Overwork, probably.
Do you know what kind of work he does?
Well, I asked him when he started complaining about his back, and he told me he was an accountant.
Did he say where?
Yes, the Enright Insurance Company on Madison. I have to have that information for my file.
Well, and you have no particular opinion on whether he could have committed these crimes?
I'm a doctor, Lieutenant. I'll answer that question by saying I believe any one of us can commit a serious crime under the right conditions.
Peter Devers.
Peter Devers, Mr. Devers? He's in 206. What's he done?
Is he in his room now?
Well, I don't know. I thought I heard him come in, but it could have been Mr. and Mrs. Pyle. They live right over me. And Mr. Devers lives in the apartment next to the Pyles, but I can hear him sometimes.
And you think maybe he's in?
Well, I thought I heard him, but I don't know. What's he done?
Well, we'd just like to talk to him.
He's in 206. Oh, I told you that.
How long has Mr. Devers lived here?
Oh, nearly 6 years.
What kind of a person is he?
Well, he's a nice person. He's been a very good tenant. He's quiet and doesn't go out at night much.
Do you know whether he was out earlier this evening?
Oh, yes. I know he went out, but I'm not sure whether or not he's come in yet.
Has he got a car?
Yes. Now, what in the world do you want him for?
Well, we'll know better after we talk to him. Show us where his car is, please.
Well, certainly. The garage entrance is at the end of the hall. I'll just get something to put around me. I was just getting ready to go to bed.
You better put something on warm. It's pretty cold.
I'll just be a second.
This guy sounds like an ideal citizen.
You better go up and wait by his door.
Yeah, right.
All right. I got this heavy. Oh, where's the other officer?
He went upstairs to wait.
Oh, well, the garage is this way. Mr. Devers is really an awfully nice man. I don't know what in the world he could have done. Was he speeding?
No. Which one is this car?
The gray one.
The sedan?
Yes.
Does Mr. Devers have a stove in his apartment?
Yes.
You been in all evening?
Yes.
Then you'd certainly hear an explosion from Mr. Devers' apartment.
An explosion?
Yeah, if his stove blew up.
Oh, my, yes. His stove didn't blow up. I would have heard it.
I think I better go up and see him.
What's that on the seat of the car?
Blood.
I listened at the door up there, and I could hear somebody moving around.
Oh, he's in there, all right. Just saw his car. Blood all over it. Call Quine and tell him to get over with some men just in case.
Yeah.
Who are you?
We'd like to talk to you, Mr. Devers.
You said you were Dr. Bishop.
We're police officers, Mr. Devers.
police officer?
Yeah, my name's Guthrie. This is Sergeant Cargan.
But why did you say you were Dr. Bishop?
I don't understand.
Can we come in?
Well, I'm not feeling very well.
Yes, you had an accident, I understand.
Yes.
We'd like to talk to you, if you don't mind.
Well, come on in. The place is a mess. I didn't even bother to clean up. I didn't feel well, so I laid down.
The doctor said your stove blew up.
Oh, well, it wasn't my stove. I was over at a friend's house.
This evening?
Yes.
About what time, Mr. Davis?
Earlier, I guess about 8. I don't know exactly. What's this all about?
You live here alone?
Yes.
Who's the woman in the picture?
My mother. She died 10 years ago.
Tell us about the accident.
Well, like I told the doctor, the gas must have been on, and I struck a match. Stove exploded.
I hope your friend wasn't hurt.
Oh, no. You have to excuse me. It's a little hard to think. The doctor gave me some pills to stop the pain.
You were hurt pretty badly.
Oh, it's not so bad.
Who was your friend?
You mean where I was?
Yeah.
Oh, well, his name is Collins, Paul Collins.
Where does he live?
But what's this all about? What do you want with me?
We'd just like to know where you were around 7:30 this evening.
Well, I told you.
You're sure you weren't on the corner of Jefferson and Adams?
Jefferson and Adams?
Did you know a Miss Bellows who lived...
No.
I haven't given you the address.
Well, I don't know any Miss Bellows.
How about a Mrs. Gillette?
No.
We found the rifle.
Rifle?
It matched the empty shell casings.
Shell casings?
You can identify shell casings as easily as bullets.
We'll check with your friend, Paul Collins.
Wait a minute. There's no sense in going on with this. I don't know how to explain it. I shot both of them.
Why?
Well, can I answer you? I can't tell myself. I had the 22, and I don't know. I thought about turning myself in before I did it, but I couldn't.
You didn't know either of these women?
No, I'd never even seen them before. I thought about doing it a lot. It was like I couldn't help myself. I shot a pigeon one time when I was a kid, a pet pigeon. I used to raise him. He was just sitting there looking down at me, and I shot him. My folks never found out about it. I burned him in the incinerator. Well, it was like that. Look, I can't explain it to you, but I feel better now that it's over.
You just had to kill these people.
I couldn't help it. I can't possibly explain how I felt. I just couldn't help it.
Why women?
I don't know.
Well, you better come with us.
Okay. I'll get a coat.
Then, this photograph of his mother. You know, she looks a little like an older edition of that first woman he killed.
Miss Bella? Yeah.
Starring Bill Johnstone as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie is written by Blake Edwards with music by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were Bill Conrad as Sergeant Pete Carger, with Dave Young, Harry Lang, Howard McNear, Clayton Post, Jim Nusser, Vic Perrin, Parley Bear, Virginia Gregg, and Francis X. Bushman. The lineup was transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle.
Welcome back. Well, this is one of those psycho murders where the person, you know, couldn't tell you themselves why they did it. So really tragic. It was really nice to see William Conrad in a role that wasn't a villain. Usually the villain or but here we get to hear him in a supporting role. He would not become the permanent sidekick on this program. The role he played of Pete Carger, a lot of actors would play it. I believe that there are some episodes where Jack Moyles from Rocky Jordan played the role. So certainly this is not the last Pete Carger we'll hear. By the way, there were actual the titles of the four episodes that we have missing from the last show are The Scared Schoolmarm Scrape, The Buzzed Up Burglar's Case, The Sadly Slipshod Shoe Shenanigan Case, and The Mad McPherson Melee. So, some interesting titled episodes. We'll have three lost episodes, actually, before we get to next week's show. And actually, it's till May 27th when we start really getting into regular programs without a lost, without a lot of lost episodes. So we'll have some skipping around. So, but join us next week for another episode of The Lineup. Monday, be sure and be listening. As we bring you yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And on Wednesday next week, it'll be Miss Pinkerton Incorporated. Send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.